Our doctor is in, and so are the doctors of Capital Health. Welcome to the all-new Health 411. Every Sunday morning at 10, Dr. Jonathan Karp, along with our respected panel of guests from Capital Health, take you on an important medical journey to help you navigate your health and the healthcare system to reach your destination, good health. Health 411 is underwritten by Capital Health, Minds Advancing Medicine. Capital Health is the region's leader in providing progressive quality patient care with exceptional physicians, nurses, and staff, as well as advanced technology.
1077 The Bronx, 1077thebronx.com. Proudly nominated for National Association of Broadcasters 2019, 2021, and 2022 Marconi Award for Best College Radio Station, as well as a 2023 IBS College Media Award. We are broadcasting from the Bronx All Digital Studios on the Lawrence Hill campus of Rider University. Welcome to Health 411. I'm your host, Professor Jonathan Karp. This Health 411 program is presented by Capital Health. In Health 411, we discuss a variety of issues affecting health and wellness, public health, healthcare policy, and the science of health and healthcare. Our goal is to expand your knowledge and your perspective. Today, we are recording with our student producer, Dan Geller, and our guest, Alex Lewinsky. Alex is from Capital Health, where he runs an EMT training course there. Welcome to Health 411, Alex.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
It's a pleasure. Pleasure having you. And so can you tell us a little bit of your background and how you went and became a member of like the EMT community?
Sure. So, real quick, my name is Alex Lewinsky. I'm the director of EMS for Capital Health. I became an EMT 20 plus years ago. I honestly did not think of this as a career initially. I had some friends that were EMTs, and they thought that, you know, it was good knowledge to have. God forbid you're ever in a place and something happens, you would have the ability to help someone. So reluctantly, I decided I would take the class. And within probably 2 months of being in the class, I decided that this was going to become my career moving forward in life.
Oh, very cool. Are you a New York, New Jersey kid?
Yes, originally from New York. You could probably tell by the accent. Okay.
Oh, excellent. And you sort of did that. So you got into it sort of with your buddies. You took a class together.
That's correct.
Oh, well, that's sort of cool. And now you are I introduced earlier and said you sort of run the EMT training course at Capital Health. But how did you go from being a freshly minted EMT to now running an EMT program?
A lot of hard work.
I'm not checking your resume. I'm just sort of curious for any students who may be listening and looking ahead how did you get from there to where you are now?
It requires a lot of dedication, in all honesty. Starting, you know, my career off as an EMT, working in the field on an ambulance, providing care, you know, to patients in their houses. I guess I had a couple of negative interactions with superiors throughout the years. I found them to be very rude. And I personally did not like that. I didn't think that was the way anyone should be treated. And I always vowed that if I had the ability to move up through the ranks, that I would not be that person. So fast forward a few years, I wound up going back to school. I became a paramedic in New York City. My first big job was 9/11. So yes, I'm one of those people.
Wow. Okay.
Eventually my personal life, I wound up moving to New Jersey, and I started to look into the Jersey protocols and what it's like to be a paramedic in the state of New Jersey. And I enjoyed it. I liked it. I liked the ability to provide care with different protocols than I was used to in New York City.
That's an interesting thing. So how is life as an EMT / paramedic different in New York and New Jersey?
So it really depends upon on where you live and you work. Protocols are different based upon usually geography. So sometimes it's state lines, sometimes it's county lines. As far as paramedics are concerned, New York City has one set of protocols. Hudson Valley has a different set of protocols in New York. Jersey is pretty much all the same when it comes to a paramedic for the state.
And when you say protocols, does that mean being the ability to administer medicines or certain kinds of medicines? Because somebody listening would think, you know, if you encounter somebody who's, you know, had a stroke, that there's a set, you know, standard operating procedure of how you deal with that patient.
Yeah, that would be our protocols, our standard operating guidelines. Okay. So based upon the complaint of the patient, there is a standard set of guidelines that we would go over. Granted, not every patient fits in every single one of those categories, and it's not so much a cookbook, but it should be used as a reference. So if you have a patient that presents one way, you go back through your protocols and you can see what you can do for that patient. Again, you might not do everything, and you might not do it in the exact order that it's written in the book, but you should probably touch all of those points.
So a paramedic who moves from one, I mean, not just state, but one from one area to another has to, in a sense, relearn what the standard operating procedures are for that area?
That's correct. I'm actually currently now learning the Pennsylvania protocols for Bucks County.
Oh, very cool. So, and while we're still in our first segment, you mentioned that you fell in love with this career path after taking a course with your buddies. For students who may be listening, what are some of the ideal characteristics for somebody who is a good fit for the EMT paramedic path?
I believe one of the most important things are communication skills, the ability to have a conversation with someone to try to figure out what's wrong with them. Oftentimes you're dispatched for a certain type of complaint. However, that might have been made, that call might have been made by someone that wasn't even in the room. So let's just say you were dispatched for, ankle pain. Next thing you know, when you wind up arriving on scene and you actually start talking to the patient, their ankle hurts because they initially had chest pain and then they tripped and fell. So you have to have that ability to interview a patient. I think you also have to have a lot of caring and empathy. These are people that we see in their worst days, right? So the ability to talk to someone, to treat someone, and lastly, not keep it inside. You can't personalize this. It's not your life, correct? You have to sort of separate it. It's kind of like what a physician does. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, sometimes they have to tell people some bad news, but you can't keep it with you for your entire career.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm a current EMT in South Brunswick, and I'm curious, what pushed you to go from the EMT cert to going to medic school and sort of furthering your career in that way?
As far as going from an EMT to a paramedic, I was on a call years ago where it was a diabetic patient that had low blood sugar. And when I initially arrived on scene, the patient was incoherent, pretty much mumbling, didn't make any sense whatsoever. And then as an EMT, what you can administer is oral glucose. That is if the patient can swallow and can somewhat talk to you. Unfortunately, this patient could not do that. So I was kind of like left a little helpless. Next thing you know, the paramedics arrive. They start an IV. They push this very large vial of medication. At the time, I didn't know what it was. And within 5 minutes, the patient was completely and totally lucid and was wondering why we were there. Mm. That was amazing to me.
Yeah, that is really fascinating.
Wow. And so you wished you wanted to be able to do that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I thought that was the coolest thing in the world, to be able to show up in someone's house and fix them. Right. I mean, that's ultimately what they wound up doing that day.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't even know why you were there when he came out of his hypoglycemic crisis. Right.
Correct.
Yeah, it's interesting. And That's sort of it. It's very interesting. So if we go back just to the skills thing a little bit, I'm a biology professor here, as mm-hmm. I mentioned. And what you didn't say is that somebody who would be successful and happy in this career path has to feel like they're good at science.
I don't know if you have to be good at science. I believe you definitely, you need to know anatomy and physiology, and you should be good at science, I guess. Mm-hmm.
But that's, I mean, and we're going to come back to this too when I ask you about the EMT training program. But I get a lot of students who, when I teach like biostatistics, say, oh, I suck at math, or I'm not good at this. And they come in like to some of these classes with a predetermined, like, oh my God, I'm just not good at this because I'm in these classes with people who want to go to medical school. But this was never your path. This sounds like this is something you fell into and you realized I can do this without being sort of a science nerd is what I'm sort of getting at.
Correct. Yeah, I wasn't. I honestly, I was not a very good student when I was in high school.
Okay. but you found a very successful career path that I do want to hear more about, but we have to take a break for some underwriting announcements. We'll be right back with Health 411. You are listening to 1077 The Bronx and 1077 The Bronx.
Now back to the all new Health 411, underwritten by Capital Health, Minds Advancing Medicine.
1077 The Bronx, 1077TheBronx.com. We're recording Health 411 from the Digital Bronx Studios. I'm Professor Jonathan Karp, and Dan and I are having a conversation today with Alex Lewinsky. Alex runs the EMT training program at Capital Health. And in the last segment, we heard just a little bit of his background and his sort of found love of this career path that has taken him to running this program at Capital Health Medical Center. Alice, can you tell us what that program is and who should be looking to maybe come there?
So it's not your typical EMT program. It's actually very unique. In the sense that you're actually paid to go to school.
Oh, interesting. So what would be a typical EMT program before you tell us what Capital Health does for people who are listening?
Not a problem. Mm-hmm. I was just going to get into that.
Oh,
so
okay,
a typical
sorry.
EMT program, you would usually scour the internet and try to figure out who is doing, who is going to host the next class, whether it's one of the local hospitals, whether it's your local squad, another private agency. From there, you would apply. I'm assuming most have some sort of entrance tests. And then once you're accepted, you actually pay to go to school, just like you would as a college student, right? You're paying to go to school. Granted, there are sometimes some scholarships depending upon where you go. So quite similarly for you guys, same thing. Mm-hmm. Our program kind of differs a little bit. We noticed that there was quite the need for EMTs in the workforce. So we took it upon ourselves to create a class where we actually interview someone and they become an employee or a team member of Capital Health.
So are these, the classes then, the typical program, is it a year-long program, 18 months, summer? How long are these things and how does that compare to what you guys are doing?
The typical EMT program is about 3 months in duration.
Okay.
Usually a couple of nights a week, including a weekend component here and there.
Okay.
Our class is 40 hours a week, where we, instead of having, prime example would be Monday, Wednesday, and Friday would be your class time. Tuesday and Thursday would be your practical time. So we're not only teaching the EMTs that go through our program on how to be an EMT, but we're also teaching them how to be a Capital Health employee.
So it's specifically for Capital Health, because when I did my EMT, it was paid for by the state through the squad, but it's different for you because once you do the Capital Health EMT program, you are a Capital Health employee. I think it's for a year you have to do it?
That is correct. Yes, you work for us for a year. It's a contract. In the future, we're looking to hopefully expand the program and have like your typical EMT class where individuals such as yourself could come you know, on a couple nights a week, including that weekend component, and then either do it as a volunteer job, you know, work in a different place. We're just not at that stage yet. Right now, we're just trying to train our own and up our ranks within the department.
So it sounds like it's a full-time job.
It is. So it actually is a full-time job at this point.
Going to school.
You come
full-time.
In day one, you go through orientation, and you're here for 3 to 4 months, and then you wind up transitioning to the trucks. Mm-hmm.
So is the clinical component during the training, or is it all at the end of training?
It's kind of both. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, it's a lot more class time, where maybe Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, it's class time with Friday having some sort of clinical component. As you progress through the class, it kind of goes to a 50-50 split. Mm-hmm. And then once you get towards the end of the class, it's mostly hands-on practical type stuff.
Mm-hmm. And so when...
Including scenarios.
Mm-hmm, of course. And so does the clinical hours, is that all in hospital or is it on the rig or is it sort of a mixture of both?
Mixture of both.
Okay.
What does the this is interesting. So what does the typical student look like?
What does the typical student look like?
I don't mean their phenotype, but so their background, their age, their educational history.
It varies. You know, we have quite a few individuals that are local, you know, within Mercer County, Trenton, Lawrence, Ewing. We have some others that might travel a little bit further of a distance. And the age range is anywhere from, you know, 18 to probably my age, mm-hmm. which I'm not going to say on
that. That's okay. So would it be unusual for somebody to look at this training program as a career change? Or do people come, you know, right out of high school, right out of college or something like that?
We actually, this class is kind of a 50-50 split with that. Some individuals came in, this is going to be their first real career. Others, it is a career change. So it really depends upon, you know, what you want to do with life.
Mm-hmm. So are you guys thinking about expanding into maybe a paramedic training program as well?
I would love that. I think it would be fantastic. It just requires a lot more back end work that is going to take probably a couple of years mm-hmm. to get accomplished. But I'm new in this position. So, and I don't have any plans on going anywhere anytime soon. So who knows what the future holds?
Yeah.
Well, how big is this program? How many people do you have in there now and how big do you want it to be?
The class actually has a ratio, a student to instructor ratio. So right now we're held at 12 students.
Oh, is that a state law or a Capital Health thing?
That's usually kind of rules that are written into the educational programs, whether it's in New Jersey or Pennsylvania.
Okay.
They want to make sure that the student has a good experience. So if you wind up having 50, 60 people in a classroom setting, such as like maybe some of your very large types of classes that you might have in college, with this being a very hands-on type of education / career, we need to have that smaller ratio.
Mm-hmm. And so does this course also sort of prepare its graduates for the National Registry exam, or is it just a state certification?
It does. That's actually mm-hmm. the final test. So the National Registry is the final test.
And so is that, do you kind of schedule that outside of the program itself, or do you do that with the program? Because when I took it, I know I had to schedule it through like some third party.
We're actually assisting the current interns go through that, and that is part of coming on board. So it's not like an additional fee that you would pay because you're now an employee of Capital
right.
Health. So we're paying that.
And for somebody who might be listening who's interested in this, what kind of things do you learn in an EMT training course?
So as far as EMT training is concerned, you'll learn CPR. You'll learn how to, you know, provide automatic
defibrillation.
Gonna have to go backwards on this one. Cut. sorry. So let's try this again. As an EMT, You'll learn how to care for patients in a basic type of scenario. So you'll have patients that might be in cardiac arrest. The EMT arrives on scene. They're able to perform CPR. They're able to defib the patient. They also respond to car accidents. So you would be able to bandage any sort of injuries. They can provide basic medications, so EpiPens, aspirin, albuterol for those that are suffering from, some sort of asthma type reaction. Mm-hmm. What else does an EMT do? Sometimes it's just psychological first aid. You know, someone called 911 because they're having a really, really hard day. And it's more of like kind of a psychiatric component where there's some additional training in the classes to provide that sort of comfort care, you know, per se, mm-hmm. when you're driving to the hospital.
Now, that's an interesting thing. Are you also trained in how to drive? Is it an ambulance or is it one of those medical van things that the EMTs are?
So in this class, yes, you are actually trained on how to drive an ambulance.
Okay.
Because you become an employee of Capital Health.
Okay.
Your basic EMT class, no, I don't believe they do that.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, in New Jersey, I'm just asking this because I don't know. Do you need a special endorsement on a license to drive an ambulance?
No, believe it or not, you don't.
Really? I turned 21 and I started driving.
Very, very large fire trucks without an endorsement.
Really? Yes,
it's kind of strange.
Well, should those of us be worried when we see these things speeding down the street?
No, I believe whoever it is
I'm
that you're
saying
working
that with
for,
a smile.
Whether it's a volunteer organization or a paid service, you know, that they're providing that education prior to it, not just randomly giving someone keys and saying, go have fun.
Yeah, I mean, people, I feel like it's a common misconception that if you are driving an ambulance, you get to break the rules of the road and you can just do whatever you want. But when I go lights and sirens, I drive carefully. I drive like I'm a normal car. I just happen to have lights and sirens on. I'm in the left lane and I'm being very careful, especially if I have a patient in the back.
That's correct. You have to drive with due regard to the safety of everyone around you and everyone in the truck.
Excellent. I want to hear more about this because I have just questions of what your life is like. But again, we have to take a little break for some underwriting announcements. We'll be right back with this Health 411 program. You are listening to 107.7 The Bronc and 107.7thebronc.com.
There's no appointment needed for this doctor's visit. Now back to the all-new Health 411, underwritten by Capital Health, Minds Advancing Medicine.
107.7 The Bronc, 107.7thebronc.com. Welcome back to Health 411. We are continuing our conversation today with Alex Lewinsky. And Alex is telling us about what EMTs do and the EMT training program at Capital Health. And Alex, I happened to go before we started the program today, I went to the Capital Health website, and I noticed that you have advertisements up for EMT interns if somebody is interested in participating in your class there and getting paid to go to school. Can you tell us about that process for somebody who might be interested in doing this?
Sure. That individual can go to www.capitalhealth.org/startacareer. In there, they can find the EMS section. The EMT intern is simply labeled EMT intern. From that point, you would submit an application like you would like a normal job. You'll put in all of your identifiers and whatnot, and then we would schedule you for an interview after that.
So to apply, everything's online then, and basically all you need is an internet connection and the ability to type in your information to a form online.
That is correct.
Cool. And somebody could find this if they went to look, but what are the sort of the minimum requirements that you're looking for?
I believe the minimum requirement is 18 years of age and a 10th grade reading level.
Cool. I would like to think that that there's a lot of people who meet those meet those criteria who are interested in it. And are you recruiting currently for the next? Actually, I should ask, when does the next class begin or the next cohort? And are you recruiting for that now?
Yes, I believe the next class starts June 4th. We are actively recruiting for our second class. So if you have an interest, please jump online, capitalhealth.org, start a career and apply.
And again, are you looking for another cohort of about 12 people? Is that the goal?
That is correct.
That's pretty neat. And one thing you did say, and I just want to probe this a little bit for anybody who's listening, that unlike a lot of EMT training programs, it sounds like you get paid for going to school here.
That is correct. You actually get paid from day one.
Now, is the amount that you get paid consistent with sort of a working wage, or is it sort of like a work study that students get that is not really a livable wage, but it's a little bit of lunch money?
No. It's actually a normal paycheck. And believe it or not, it does increase slightly upon graduation.
Oh, really good. Now, does the amount that you get paid a fixed amount, or does it depend on your background?
It's a fixed amount, especially as a brand new person.
Oh, okay. Cool. So day one, you walk into class. Do people sign up like with their buddies like you did? Are you finding out? Or are people coming sort of solo?
There were a few people that kind of applied. I'm assuming they were siblings. They had the same last name. Others, it could be friends, word of mouth, other people that I've bumped into just kind of walking around Trenton and having conversations. Yeah. I tend to walk around in uniform, so I sort of stand out in a crowd and people will just randomly ask questions.
Oh, that's a great way to recruit. Now, it sounds like because you're getting paid, if you have another job before this, you would have to leave that other job.
That is correct. Other job, maybe you happen to be working overnights, a couple hours here and there, or on the weekends. I would say that is definitely doable, working part-time, because you do have to remember this is a full-time job.
Right. So after you graduate, it's not per diem. It's you're doing like 40 hours a week. What kind of shifts? Is it like 12-hour shifts, 8-hour shifts? How does it work?
So it's a 36-hour work week, 12-hour shifts, rotating to on. Two off, two on, three off, that kind of deal.
Okay.
So it's a two-week rotational schedule. You'll find that we do actually have a lot of college students, and they can work full-time as long as you can adjust your schedules accordingly. Sometimes people will work out what we like to consider a mutual sort of schedule swap with another individual that works in the department, or their schooling, depending upon what classes they're taking and if there's labs that are, required and whatnot, they're able to kind of do both at the same time. Because you have to think, you work Monday and Tuesday, then you're off Wednesday and Thursday, and then you work Friday, and then the next week it's kind of opposite. So, we're also more than willing to work with people and their schedules.
And it sounds like that what you really need is, people, like you said before when I asked, people with good communication skills, people who want to help others. When I asked about the prerequisites, you didn't say anything about a certain grade point average or something like that. And so people who are interested can come from a lot of backgrounds. You don't even have to have a medical background. You didn't mention that either.
That's correct.
Yeah. And so
I went to an all-boys preparatory high school. And then went to college right after that and decided it wasn't for me. Now I'm actually working on my master's. That's a whole different story. Like I said before, early in this interview, I was not a very good student. It was just something that I really wound up liking.
And that's important for people to hear and for our students to hear, is that part of it is there's a place for everybody, and the hard part is finding that place. Sometimes you do it by the process of elimination.
I completely agree with you.
And what Alex is telling us for for Dan and anybody who's listening, is if you find a career path that you are passionate about and you love, there's opportunity for career progression and, you know, increasing responsibilities to the extent that you want to do it. You're not stuck. You know, if you start at a fast food restaurant, you might be stuck on the fry line forever. You know, what Alex has done is he's, as his skills and interest has expanded, his job description has expanded and his jobs have expanded.
Yeah, and so that brings you to the question, what sort of does a normal workday look like for you, the director of the EMT Academy?
My workday includes a lot of administrative duties. Mm-hmm. So I don't provide patient care every day like I used to, like yourself, when you're on the truck. I do a lot of the back end stuff, not only for the EMT Academy, but also for the entire EMS department. So I'm responsible for roughly 250 people. Mm-hmm.
So how sort of wide is the breadth of the Capital Health EMS organization? Like, I know it's in Trenton, Hopewell, that surrounding area, but do you also go into Pennsylvania, maybe further North Jersey? How does it work?
Yes, believe it or not, we do. So our paramedics encompass all of Mercer County. As far as our EMTs are concerned, we have a few units in Mercer County, as well as Monmouth County, Bordentown, or I guess that would be Burlington County.
Yeah.
And then we even have a medic unit in Bucks County, Pennsylvania.
Okay, yeah, so right across the river.
Yep.
I often see the mobile stroke unit around, this giant ambulance. What makes that different from a normal ambulance? Like, obviously it has capabilities to treat stroke, but specifically, like, what makes it different?
The mobile stroke unit actually has a CAT scan in it.
Oh, really?
It's a mobile CAT scan. Wow. Yes. So if you're having a stroke, that unit can arrive on scene and we have the ability to perform a CAT scan out in the field.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting.
To rule out a clot or a bleed, and then we can treat accordingly with different medications.
Mm-hmm. Now, do your EMTs typically ride with paramedics, or is it like an EMT-EMT duo, paramedic-paramedic duo?
So our EMTs, in the 911 setting, it's always two EMTs. In the non-emergent setting, so that's where you'd be taking a patient, let's say from Capital Health Hopewell, back to an extended care facility, that for us is two EMTs. In other places, it can be a first responder and an EMT.
So an EMR, right?
What was that?
An EMR?
That's correct. Okay. Yes. In the paramedic setting, it's always two paramedics. And then additionally, we even have nurses on our ambulances. So we have critical care trucks. An EMT can be paired up with one of those critical care nurses, and they can provide a higher level of transport from a hospital back to, you know, a different hospital for a higher level of care. So our EMTs can kind of do a little bit of everything. Hmm.
Just for curiosity, I don't know the answer to this, but does Capital Health have like a helicopter kind of EMT kind of thing that goes out?
No, we do not have a helicopter.
I know some big cities do have some of those things.
That's correct. There are quite a few medevac programs within the state of New Jersey. We are not one of them.
It's what, North Star, Gem Star? There's another one. I forget what it's called.
Oh, there's a bunch of them. When you look at some of the other large healthcare entities, some of them have their own helicopters, and there are state-run helicopters, like you said, North Star and South Star.
Right, and there's also like the Coast Guard, you know, let alone the Coast Guard.
That's correct. That's probably the coolest helicopter out there.
Oh, yeah. I've seen those. Those are crazy.
Okay, cool. Dan's giving me the wrap-up signals for this segment, so we'll be right back. We're going to take a break for some underwriting announcements. You're listening to Health 411 on 1077 The Bronc and 1077
The Bronc. There's no appointment needed for this doctor's visit. Now back to the all-new Health 411, underwritten by Capital Health, Minds Advancing Medicine.
1077 The Bronc, 1077TheBronc.com. Welcome back to Health 411. I'm Professor Jonathan Karp here recording with Dan Geller. We are having a conversation with Alex Lewinsky. Alex is the EMT training leader at Capital Health Medical Center. And we are talking about what EMTs do. We're talking about the training program. And in the world we're in right now, Alex, you've been doing this, like you said, for 20 plus years. One of those questions is, how has COVID changed what EMTs do, and how has it changed the training program you're now recruiting for?
COVID was very difficult. Obviously, it's still prevalent, not as much as it was, you know, back in March of 20. However, it definitely has played a negative impact on our profession. A lot of people left the field, decided to, you know, go move into other sorts of jobs, change their career and whatnot.
Do you think that was from burnout or some other kind of thing?
I could definitely say burnout definitely added to it. And that's where, you know, we have staffing level issues now. As people get sick, people still need an ambulance, right? So our coworkers were getting sick. They're now patients themselves. They're home. And now we have, you know, individuals that are still calling 911 that need an ambulance. So you had a lot of people picking up extra shifts, you know, working crazy amount of hours every week. You know, we had coworkers pass away because of COVID. You know, it was a very, very difficult time. It's gotten much better now. As you can see, you know, the world is open. People aren't wearing masks everywhere. And now, you know, the COVID symptoms seem to be very much along the lines of like a very bad cold. Thank God people aren't winding up in hospitals and being placed on ventilators like they were early on. So I think there's definitely some hope for my profession.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned in our first segment that you were a first responder at 9/11. I don't know if it's even a good question to ask. Do you compare like what you were observing with people at 9/11 to what happened during the COVID pandemic? Is that a fair comparison to make from your perspective?
The comparison, I could sort of see it. Very different in the sense that one was very short in duration, 9/11. Granted, don't get me wrong, you know, people, you know, were impacted years. I mean, they still are with all these different types of cancers and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But that was a moment in time that, you know, lasted a day, right? COVID has been 3 years. So little different.
Yeah. Right. And it's right. A big part of stress is the duration of it.
Correct.
That people have to go through it. I'm certainly hoping that you don't have any of those respiratory or other illnesses from being a first responder out there.
No, thank God.
Yeah, thank God.
I've done pretty good throughout the years.
Yeah, great. Part of that is you worked in New York City and maybe some of the boroughs of New York City, and now you're here in New Jersey. Are the kinds of calls you get and the kind of patients you see about the same? Are people, or do you see a different pattern of things happening in, you know, the New York City environment compared to, you know, Central Jersey?
I would say people are people, really depending upon the area that you're working. You know, you'll get your traumatic car accidents, you know, close to highways and whatnot. The same in both states, depending upon the neighborhoods that you're in. Some are better than others. So you'll have your violent crimes that occur in those areas. There, again, no difference between states. I really haven't seen too much of a difference between patient types between the two states.
No, that's interesting. Yeah, I guess people are people then. To what extent do you see one of the things, and I have not followed it in New York City as much as I'm aware of it here in New Jersey, is the opiate problem that we're seeing. It's also sort of a pandemic. Is that something that EMTs have to deal with as they go out?
Yes, they actually get trained on how to administer Narcan. That is a drug that can counteract the effects of an opiate overdose. They're able to administer the medication through a nair or a nose. They kind of squirt it. It's like an atomizer, a kind of what's the easiest way to explain it? Like a mist that you
Oh,
can
really?
squirt
So
up someone's nose
it's not
and
a needle
hopefully.
anymore.
No.
Oh, cool.
EMTs are not don't have the ability to perform venipuncture or start IVs.
Okay.
Only paramedics and nurses can do that.
Interesting. So, and I'm just curious about this. If you meet a patient who's unconscious, how do you know if it's an opiate that's putting him under?
So two of the big telltale signs, their respiratory pattern is very decreased. So meaning you would normally breathe about, 14 to 18 times per minute. They will breathe very, very slow and very shallow. And then if you were to check their pupils, they tend to be very, very small, otherwise known as pinpoint pupils.
Oh,
Those are pretty much the two telltale
I
signs.
guess it would look very, very constricted then.
And you also kind of look around the patient, see if you find any needles, any paraphernalia. It's also a big part of it.
That is
I think
correct.
a really big part of VMS in
History of track
general.
marks, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's just kind of surveying the whole scene, not just.
Have you met people, some people like that out, Dan?
Have I had an opioid overdose call?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had plenty. It is an epidemic. It's not like it's definitely a common thing. Now, thank God it's not that common in my area, but we do see them.
Wow. And I guess Capital Health is sort of on the cusp of inner city slash suburbia. Does that make a difference
That's true.
on the kind of calls that you
No,
see?
honestly, it doesn't really make a difference whatsoever. It doesn't make a difference if you live in a city or out in the country. This is something that impacts every community.
Yeah.
I mean, during the hospital internship program, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, Mr. Lewinsky, but Rider has a program with Capital Health where we send students in as an intern, and they rotate through RMC, Hopewell, and they do a bunch of different specialties. But they also ride on the medic trucks. And when I rode on the medic truck, it was like I wasn't even in EMT yet, but it was like one of the craziest days of my life. It kind of like made me really like, oh, maybe I want to be a paramedic. But that's a future thing.
Very cool. I'm glad you had a good time.
Yeah, our students rate that very, very highly, and what's one of the most interesting things about it, from my perspective, and you touched on this early, is, what an exciting day for somebody on the truck is a horrible day for a person in the community, and you touched on that earlier when I was talking about the characteristics of someone who's a good fit is to realize that you're not there to be entertained. In fact, a good day for the community is a boring day for you. Would you sort of agree?
That's very true. That is true. A good day for the community is a day that we don't respond to any 911 calls.
And if there are 911 calls, it's like a lift assist or something, not emergent.
Correct. That would be a good day for the public.
Yeah.
But just remember, when something happens and you need call 911, we're there.
Yep. It's good to have people who are passionate about it responding to those types of calls.
I completely agree.
Cool. Anything else? We have about a minute left, Alex. Is there anything you would like to say to our listeners? Something that you want to say to somebody who's thinking about being an EMT intern at Capital Health?
I would say just ask questions, talk to people. Feel free to drop in an application, sit down for an interview. If you happen to see one of the ambulances around, whether it's a Capital Health ambulance or it's one of the local units such as Ewing, Trenton, or whatnot, feel free to go up into them, ask them questions. I think we all have that caring sort of aspect to us, and we're more than willing to answer any questions, especially to someone that's thinking about making this a career.
I think that's great. And I mentioned earlier, I went to the Capital Health website. I actually saw the website where the application is posted. If you go to the bottom of that website, there's, I don't know, about 15 or more questions and answers about the program, about books being paid for, about a whole bunch of stuff there. And so I encourage our listeners to check it out, and hopefully you'll get to meet Alex. Alex, thank you so much for doing this. You've been a great guest. Unfortunately, we are coming to the end of the program. This is 1077 The Bronc and 1077thebronc.com. We're recording live from the digital studios at Rider University. Thank you for listening to Health 411. This program is part of Capital Health and Rider University's efforts to bring people together to address issues associated with all aspects of health and healthcare. I want to thank Alex Lewinsky again. Alex, thank you for participating in our program. Alex runs the training EMT program at Capital Health. I hope today's conversation with Alex has given you things to think about, what it's like to be an EMT and paramedic, and maybe stimulated your interest in entering the EMT internship program at Capital Health, which is like a paid job. And it sounds like if you pass that program, you're guaranteed a job at Capital Health when you come out the other end. If you have questions and or comments about this program or want to make suggestions for future broadcasts, please email us at health411@rider.edu.
Remember, you have a doctor's appointment scheduled for every Sunday at 10 a.m. Don't miss the all-new Health 411 with Dr. Jonathan Karp and our expert medical guest from Capital Health. You can listen to Health 411 anytime on demand. Go to 1077thebronc.com/health411 to listen to past episodes, or tune in every Thursday at 9 a.m. to hear the weekend rewind edition of Health 411. Health 411 on 1077 The Bronc is underwritten by Capital Health, Minds Advancing Medicine. Capital Health is the region's leader in providing progressive quality patient care with exceptional physicians, nurses, and staff, as well as advanced technology.